just record and then see whether devotees want to hear. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Maharaj, I would like to ask, how is Navavrajdham manifested as Vrindavan? Are there any specific pastimes or glories just related to this dham?
Related to this dham, you mean as being something different? That Krishna had some pastimes here in the past?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
None that I know of, although Krishna's everywhere, so he can certainly manifest pastimes, but he did appear here 16 years ago.
Yeah.
And because he's here, so Vrindavan's also here. Dvaitacharya said, Tat Vrindavanam, Jatra Vrindavanam, wherever you are, Vrindavan's also there. And Vrindavan's there also, both in the general principle and also in detail. And that's why Krishna's pastime places are assigned here, because they're also here, Miss Vrindavan. But historically, if there's any other historical incident, I don't know of it. Was that what you meant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But because Krishna is not different than his deity form, Krishna is not different than his holy name, and particularly he manifests himself where devotional service to him takes place. So, in all those ways, Krishna becomes present, but particularly when he's also installed in his deity form and worship, and chanting of Hare Krishna is taking place, and where there's selfless devotion, then that's Vrindavan. Vrindavan's more state of a state that's established by consciousness, by Krishna consciousness, more than a physically geographical place. But when it's practiced in a geographical place, then the consciousness manifests in that particular place. Something else along those lines?
I think that's okay. My friend here also likes to ask a question.
I wanted to ask about karma yoga, and generally in the West, when devotees go to work, obviously we do the work for Krishna, so some devotees practice, they offer their work when they come home to the deity.
How do they offer their work?
Actually, this is what I wanted to ask, because when you're at work, how are you still practicing Krishna consciousness? Because you are carrying out your duty, but while you're doing that work, let's say sitting at a desk, then there's like changes in consciousness levels, and I don't see how that's bhakti yoga.
Carrying out what duty?
Just say, like, when a noble grahastha goes to their workplace to do work.
Is that their duty?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Huh?
I don't think so.
No, because you just mentioned it. Arjuna's duty was to fight, because that was also Krishna's will. So Grihastha, first of all, has to be really clear. If working is duty, and by performance of duty people make spiritual advancement, then everyone in the world who's working is making spiritual advancement. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. So you've got to be working under Krishna's authority. And if you're working under Krishna's authority, which means under some higher authority, just having a job is not necessarily your prescribed duty. But if that's something that's approved by you, before, because like Arjuna, you're under Krishna's guidance and Krishna's authority, then it becomes your duty. But if it's just something that someone dreamt up and is doing whimsically, then it's not necessarily your duty. And then how to offer that? Anashrita karma param karyam karam karoti. You can only offer something when it belongs to Krishna, when you see its connection with Krishna. And ultimately you offer the result, karma palam. So how do people offer their work? They give a portion of their work. Prabhupada generally said 50%. They give 50% of the results of their work, in other words their money, to spread Krishna consciousness. Then they're offering the results of their work. Or if it's not 50%, then it's some established percent, and otherwise just some kind of saying, I'm offering this to Krishna, it's called Aroha Siddhi Bhakti. It's an imagined thing. Its only benefit is that when you think, well, I'm offering this to Krishna, it's some kind of connection with Krishna because it's in the mind, but it's not real. It's like feeding your children by meditating on feeding them. You're thinking about them, so because Krishna's absolute, thinking about him is good, but your children aren't eating just by thinking about you're thinking about them eating. But because Krishna is absolute, then there's some benefit there, but it's not. There's a thought that this is what I would do, but there's no real surrender. So without real surrender, the real not purification of the heart, burning up past sinful activities and advancing in Krishna consciousness. So, for someone to really be a householder, he needs to be under the direction of the spiritual master, and he needs to be really giving the result of his work to Krishna in a realistic way, and he needs to be practicing sadhana, because otherwise he won't have the consciousness to do that, he won't be inspired to do that, or if he does, it won't really be to please Krishna, it'll be only to get more material benefit. It won't be pure. Well, the idea that work equates to duty, equates to devotion, I mean, everyone in the world then is a devotee. Or at least anyone who's working. That's a real Mayavad vision of devotional service. Just hang on a minute now. Okay. We continue.
We also wanted to ask, I wanted to know, in what way, does ISKCON utilize, the Varnashram system in any way?
Varnashram system.
I mean, I saw it's mostly utilizing the ashram system, but I wanted to know about the Varna system as well, because by birthright there is you don't really have a qualification unless it's in your nature or in your qualities. But I wanted to ask how we deal with certain people that have qualities. Just how ISKCON is supposed to how ISKCON is supposed to sort of use Krishna consciousness in such a way that those people can still practice devotional life. Because I know, like, in Mumbai, they have, I don't know exactly what they do, but they have people who have, like, Kshatriya qualities, they give them different duties in ISKCON.
Yeah.
But I just wondered, like, where else, sort of, like, people that have those different qualities, how they're sort of given services and how ISKCON sort of utilizes the system for them.
Well, one thing, if you're talking about an extended community, because that's what Chaupati is, and which goes beyond just the temple and so on. But just like here, you have a farm, and generally those people who have a particular inclination for something, for a certain type of work or service, that's what they end up doing long term. For a short period of time, or for a period of time, you get Brahmachari Guru Kule, Vasadanto Guru Ritan, you get all Brahmacharis going out on Sankirtan and book distribution and so on. But then when they get married, then according to their particular natures, they will, just like Krishna tells Arjuna, he said, even if you don't fight, you have to fight by your nature, because that's who you are. So I don't know if I want to say generally people are engaged according to their nature, because life's tough in the material world. And we see that ultimately, nature or no nature, you got to eat. And when you don't eat, then Varnashram doesn't mean anything. So you need Varnashram works in a really well-balanced society. And for ISKCON to function, ISKCON is just a very small spiritual society within a larger society. It's very difficult to establish or offer those type of facilities. And that's why Prabhupada wanted Varnashram in terms of devotees living in a community lifestyle. But even then, people have to sacrifice. When you only have 100, 200 people somewhere, then people just can't do whatever they have an inclination to do, because it's not necessarily what's needed. So there's also the aspect of doing the needful in order to set up more the greater principle of Varnashram, which is that we live by spiritual principles. And we live in a way, the essence of Varnashram means Samsudhi Haritoshanam, that the whole social structure is there in order to facilitate pleasing Krishna. This idea that what about me, that's not really Varnashram. That's a real selfish approach. That's not Samsiddhi Hariposhanam, how's Krishna pleased. So Daivi Varnashram is about pleasing Krishna. And so Arjuna didn't want to fight, but still he did it because it pleased Krishna. So similarly, Varnashram has many different phases, and according to time and circumstance, it'll take different forms. Varnashram can't be applied in the way it was applied 5,000 years ago, but still the basis is there, is that people accept to live according to certain God-given standards, And on the basis of that, they have certain rights and they have certain obligations. That's what any society means. People have voluntarily accept obligations and duties, and on the basis of that, they have rights. So before you start about what's ISKCON doing for people, the other question is, what are people doing for ISKCON? Unless people do something for ISKCON, ISKCON can't do anything for people, because ISKCON's not some kind of unlimited resource that's just meant to do things for people. So there needs to be dedicated people who are willing to dedicate their life and recognize that Varnashram is not an overnight affair. Setting up societies, just like we have society now, they got to where they are by, they fought wars, they ate each other, they did so many, all kinds of different abominable things. It didn't just happen overnight. So establishing a social structure is real serious business. And when people just say, what's ISKCON doing? It's a very unrealistic idea of what ISKCON is doing. ISKCON is just a spiritual organization with relatively very few people and quite a limited resources in most places. So unless it gets empowerment from, because that's what society's about citizens, unless it gets empowerment from citizens, we shouldn't expect this town to do anything at all. More that citizens are willing to surrender and put into a society, then we can see that similarly, the more a society is able to reciprocate, what can a king do? If people don't pay taxes, he can't do anything. If people pay taxes, then he can provide so many things. So you may want a king to protect citizens, but if the citizens don't pay taxes, then he can't have an army and he can't protect anybody. So it's not what the king does. What do the citizens do? And if there's investment, just like you give the example of Chopati, but in Chopati there's very, very serious investment by a large extended congregation into developing a certain concept, so therefore they can provide something. Where it isn't, then what's ISKCON? ISKCON is just a name. It's just a charitable organization in the UK, or it's a religion. It's just a name on a piece of paper. But it's the devotees and the investment by the members of that society over the long-term development of what Srila Prabhupada saw as a social structure that's actually going to make it happen. As one statesman once said, that's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.